This is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Southwest Technical College in Fenimore. Did you know that Southwest Tech is for people with a passion for golf? That's right. They offer a golf course management program with a 100% job placement rate. The program helps students learn the industry and turn that passion into a rewarding career. The golf course management program at Southwest Tech is led by a PGA professional, Scott Kennedy. He also coaches the Chargers golf team in the NJCAA. Men, women, there are opportunities for everyone at Southwest Tech in Fenimore. To learn more, go to swtc.edu/golf. And today, Talking.Golf, also sponsored by the Club at Loch LaBelle, which recently celebrated the grand opening of its all-new golf course. The rebirth of this historic course is now available for both members and non-members and located conveniently between Milwaukee and Madison in the beautiful rolling hills of Oconomowoc. See what all the talk is about with the remake of one of the oldest golf courses in the state. Test your game with native fescue grasses, undulating greens, and Scottish roots. Book your tee time today at clubatlochlabelle.com. With that, we welcome in, fresh off, a free pizza for life. No, no, not for life. For a year.
Not for life.
All right. Before we get, we'll talk. We got to talk about our transition of sponsors here today. But I can't before I talk about the fact that you somewhere on a golf course won free pizza for a year. How did that happen?
Yeah, it was at an outing, Rob, and it was, you know, you bought tickets for a raffle and you dropped your little tickets in jars, you know.
Right.
And somehow my ticket got pulled for free pizza, one a month. For a year at Rocky Rococo's. Today being August 31st, I hadn't used my coupon yet for my free pizza for the month. So I had to go there and get my free pizza, Rob.
I love
Outstanding.
It.
Outstanding. Yeah.
I love it. Yes. You and I think on the same lines there. I'll be one of the first guys in line tomorrow for the free mask they're giving at T-Mobile. It's T-Mobile Tuesday. So, you know, there you go. We need to thank our sponsor for Talking.Golf all this year and really going back, a long time, the Club at Loch LaBelle. They are transitioning out Southwest Technical College and Fenimore transitioning in. Before we let the Club at Loch LaBelle go, Gary, you've played the course, and what a great year for the Club at Loch LaBelle to kind of re-emerge on the Wisconsin golf scene with all that's happened with COVID-19, so many people out playing golf. I have to imagine it was a great summer for the folks over at the Club at Loch LaBelle, and we can't thank them enough for their sponsorship, and really, if you haven't played it yet, go play it, right, Gary?
Yeah, Rob, I've played it twice this year. I played it 1 week before that June 20th grand reopening, and then I played it about 2 weeks ago with some friends, some good friends, and including Rick Rasmussen, who former state open champion, who can still play, by the way, Rob. It was great when it opened, you know, in June, but it's come miles since then. The green speeds have come up, the conditioning of the course has come up, and it's a treat. It's a real pleasure to play, and I'm glad I got a couple chances to play it and see the maturity over a couple month period.
Let me see if I can look into the mind of Gary D'Amato here. So the first time you played the Club at Loch LaBelle, you didn't quite know all the intricacies. So you bring the guy who was the club pro there for what, years and years. Wasn't he the guy at Loch LaBelle for many, many years? Rick Rasmussen. And like you said, he's got a great resume.
He sure does. Yeah, he can still play. He's a senior now, but he still hits it a mile. And yeah, he was a club pro back when it was a private club, I think from maybe like early 80s to the early 90s. It was at least, 8 or 10 years that he was a club professional there. And that was the first time I think that he had played it since the redo, maybe the first time. But anyway, he was very impressed with the changes. And, they got rid of all the problem areas with the low lying, the peatish, the areas that were always wet. Those are all gone now. They lifted fairways 4 or 5 feet. They bought some land. The Morse family, who owns the course now, bought some land across Pennsylvania Street and built 4 new holes there, and they're spectacular holes. So yeah, it's really good. It's really a really good golf course.
And did Rick agree that, as good as Loch LaBelle has always been, the club at Loch LaBelle kind of just sort of pumped some freshness into it? And don't all courses need that at some point, Gary?
Yeah, Rob, I think you're right. You know, courses get dated. Courses, you know, they're living, breathing things, and they grow and they change. Trees grow. You know, bunkers have to be replaced or redone. Tees have to be moved around. So it was a good time to do it because, you know, the club had you know, fallen on the hard times. That's the wrong way to say it. But it just wasn't up to its old glory. You know, it opened in 1896 as one of the first and best golf courses in the Midwest, if not America. And it's back to that now and even better. And Rick Rasmussen likes it so much, he became a member. He joined the club that he once was the head professional at.
Wow, that is pretty impressive. So again, we thank the folks, the Morris family over at the club at Lac La Belle for their generosity and their sponsorship of our podcast here during 2020. Obviously, it's been kind of a crazy year. And which brings us to our new sponsor, Southwest Technical College out of Fenimore. I've known Scott Kennedy for a long time, and he's been both the golf coach there, but also the guy teaching the golf program there. And I've always been impressed at how many Southwest Tech grads there are out there throughout the state of Wisconsin. And I ran into one over at the State Women's Open over at the Legend at Brandybrook, and one of the assistant professionals there came from Southwest Tech, played for Scott on the golf team, and also learned his trade at Southwest Tech. And I wanted to kind of play around with this because we've talked about it many times, Gary. You and I are technically in the golf business, and there aren't a ton of people anymore that write about golf. Not as many as there were back when we first started, when media rooms everywhere were full. But our job is one of many jobs you can do to get into golf. And Southwest Tech, you can be you can go through there to be a club professional. You can go through there to learn the maintenance side of the game. And you can go in there to learn tournament administration or handicapping or things like that. If you had to go through a golf program, Gary, and go into a different line of work other than writing, where would you go? What would you do in the game of golf?
I'd really be interested in administration and tournament administration. And secondary, maybe on the maintenance side, Rob. I love club pros. They do a wonderful job, but it wouldn't be for me. They have a hard job. They really do. And, but I would like either to go into administrative side of things or be on a mower like I was earlier this year at the Oaks.
Yeah. Because it looked like you were having a blast on that thing.
I was. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. My lines weren't very straight, but I think if I had some practice, I think they'd whip me into shape over there, and I'd probably be able to cut some nice fairways and nice greens.
Now, do you think you could do that job with the AirPods in your ear, listening to your favorite kind of music, and just, you know, passing the days away, you know, on a mower? That's what a lot of those guys do. They get to be at one with nature, but then a lot of them, pumping the tunes or listen to podcasts. So hopefully, they're listening to us. Would you be able to do that? Or how long do you think it would take you to learn that craft so well that you could listen, kind of the old walk and chew gum at the same time?
Yeah, I would like it because I love the aspect of getting up early in the morning, being alone on a golf course, sun's coming up, there's dew on the ground. You're right, you can put your headset on or whatever, listen to some music and kind of get lost. And I think the time would go very quickly cutting greens and fairways. And I think probably most superintendents would tell you that they love being outside. They love working on a living, breathing thing. They all have a great deal of pride in what they do. And then, you know, a good percentage of their work is done when people are just starting to get up and come to the course to play golf. So of course there's a lot other things they have to do, but I would enjoy that.
So you also mentioned tournament administration I think we both respect the work that Rob Jansen and his staff at the Wisconsin State Golf Association do, and then also Joe Stadler and his crew over at the WPGA. I see a great opportunity there for kids that are, you know, willing to work their way up to those positions. Obviously, there's a lot of good people doing a lot of great work. We've talked, I don't know how many times this summer you and I have either reached out to or quoted Bill Linneman, Jeff Perkel at the WSGA, Chris Hull at the WPGA, and in terms of, you know, having them help us get in touch with guys who are, you know, in contention at tournaments, but also, you know, the work that they've done setting up the courses for tournaments. And you know, we talked about it in our podcast after the state open, the work that Chris Hole and Joe Stadler did in setting up the course for the at Blue Mound was exceptional, and everybody raved about it. It was a tough setup, but you know, tough is no longer bad, is it, Gary? And these guys do a wonderful job, and that's another area that you can get into.
Well, I hope golfers in the state don't take it for granted how good these guys are at what they do. Rob Jansen and his crew, Bill Linneman and those guys, John Warren, all those guys are exceptional at what they do. And on the WPGA side, we have some of the best best in the United States, really. Joe Stadler does a great job. Chris Hole, everyone there. The running of the junior tournaments, their junior tournament series, it's all really good. And I understand there was a big feature on Joe in the Business Times. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm gonna have to go on the computer and find it and read it. Just his impact on the game and how he is sort of one of the Mr. Golfs in Wisconsin. There's a few of them, but Joe Stadler is definitely one.
And it certainly took a lot of wizardry on the part of both associations to conduct as many tournaments as they did this summer without missing a beat in a COVID-19 era. Again, as we kind of come to the end of summer, it's fascinating what these two organizations have done for golf in the state.
They lobbied very hard behind the scenes to get golf courses opened up and to get people on golf courses. I think golfers owe a debt of gratitude in Wisconsin for the work that those guys did. Those two organizations headed by Joe and Rob, they worked cooperatively, they worked together, they hired a lobbyist, and they got things done. Wisconsin golfers, I think, should be thankful for the hard work those guys put in to be able to get out and play golf in May, April and May.
And you mentioned it, the most numerous, the highest volume of golf jobs are in the club pro business. And there's probably going to be more after this summer based on the amount of play and the number of people that are trying to learn the game, the number of people that are required to work at the counter from 5 a.m. to 8, 9 p.m., depending on sunlight and daylight. I'll out the guy that I met at the Legend at Brandybrook, because Mitch Steiner, a young man out of Argyle, Wisconsin, who went through the golf course management program at Southwest Tech and is now the assistant pro down at the Legend at Brandybrook, had a wonderful first round of the state open, I believe it was back in, it was state open. It was just a few weeks ago. And and then the next day ballooned, and I think he might have missed the cut. And he said, I think pickleball is my new game from here on out. So, it goes to show you that, and I mean, if I had a dollar for every time a club pro told me that if you really want to play golf, you don't do what I do. They don't do it to play golf. They do it so others can play golf and play it better than they played it yesterday. I think that's the best way to talk about it. If you want to be a club pro, that's the attitude you have to have. But it can be a very rewarding business as well.
It can be, yeah. And again, you know, Wisconsin has roughly, I think, about a little over 400 PGA professionals. Those guys do hard work. They do sometimes they're not thanked enough, I think, for what they do to make the game accessible and to help people learn the game. And to do all the things they do in the golf shop and the long hours they put in. And another thing, Rob, that's really impressive me about Southwest Technical College is you mentioned at the top the 100% placement. I don't think there's too many professions and too many universities that can claim in a particular field that they have 100% placement. And in talking with those guys earlier this year for some stories I did, they're getting calls from Oakmont and Chicago Golf Club. And I mean, some of the best golf courses in the country are calling Southwest Technical College and asking about young men and women and internships and, you know, inquiring about the people coming through that program. So hats off to that.
And Scott Kennedy, who is the lead instructor in that program and also coaches the golf teams at Southwest Tech, he's been a regular along with us down at the Chicago Golf Show in previous years. And we've talked and, you know, they have a couple of avenues that can take their students not quite to the golf business, but on a different route on the way to the golf business. They also have apparently partnerships with the University of Nebraska and their PGM program down there, and also with the UW Stout and their golf enterprise management program out there. So there's up in Menominee. So there's other ways that you can go to get a 4-year degree. And, or as you said, Gary, I mean, they are literally having to, you know, turn people away when they get calls to say, you know, do you have someone that can come help us? No, we don't. It just simply, we don't have enough people. And that's why I'm hoping that with our help here, and we'll definitely, I'll do a Wisconsin.golf conversation with Scott and just kind of get his ideas on what people can do to get in the golf business. But again, we thank Southwest Tech for coming aboard as a sponsor of Talking.golf. That's right, Southwest Tech in Fenimore. And they offer, as Gary just said, a 100% job placement rate upon graduation from their two-year golf course management program. The program helps students learn the industry and turn that passion into a rewarding career. You can learn more on their website at swtc.edu/golf. And, of course, again, thanking the club at Lac La Belle for being our sponsor here all year on Talking.golf. And they had their re-grand opening in June, and by all accounts, both with Gary D'Amato and Rick Rasmussen, former state open champion, former head professional at the old Lac La Belle Country Club, who's now joined the club as a member. And you got to see what this is all about. Go to their website, club@laclabelle.com. Gary, back half of this podcast, we've got to talk some golf. You have another D-time with D'Amato on Wisconsin.golf, your course review of Washington County Golf Course. And I tell you, if there is a more solid municipal course in the state that really appeals to all levels, all abilities, Washington County is it for me. I mean, it is a newer course among munis, and it is one that everybody seems to like.
Rob, it was designed by Arthur Hills and opened in 97, and I've played five or six Arthur Hills courses, and I've never played an Arthur Hills course that I didn't think very highly of. I think he's a really good architect. You know, doesn't maybe quite have the name recognition of some of the other guys in the business and in the golf architecture business, but he's really solid. And that is a really good golf course. You're right. I think it, as I said in my review, it ranks right up there with the best munis in the state. Brown Deer, Brown County, Nagawaki, they're all really good. And our munis collectively, including Washington County, are as good as any you'll find anywhere. I mean, there's a few national munis, you know, that everyone knows, you know, Torrey Pines and right. Chambers Bay and Bethpage Black that get major championships. But these courses, and Washington County in particular, are just a notch below those.
And by the way, I belong to an Arthur Hills course out here. When I say belong, it's a public course out here in Temecula. Arthur Hills did two courses out here. The one that I belong to up at Cross Creek cuts through the mountains. He had to work, you know, on tough ground. And route through and around, a lot of different physical features. And then he did a casino course for Pechanga Casino and Resort out here. The Journey at Pechanga Arthur Hills course. And you're right. I don't think he didn't come in with railroad ties. He didn't come in with island greens. He simply gave you a good golf course. And what strikes me about his work at Washington County is, you know, it literally is a wide open golf course, but those that have played it, and especially in competition, the fescue grasses and where they're located are such that you've got to be careful on your risk-reward approach to playing each hole, or you're going to be chopping out of the hay. And I think that's pretty impressive. You compared it to Erin Hills, and I think in that respect, it's very similar to Erin Hills.
It has, you know, similar topography, not quite as dramatic as Erin Hills, but the courses are only eight or 9 miles apart. So it's the same part of that, those Kettle Moraine glacial features. And, it was mostly farmland, I think, around there. But what Arthur Hills did was his routing, Rob, there's a lot of wind on that golf course because there's not much to stop it. Similar to Erin Hills in that regard, too. It's always windy out there. And he routed the course so that you have every type of wind condition in the same round of golf. You're going to play holes downwind, into the wind, and there's going to be crosswinds from both directions. And that's another thing that I think really test your game. And as we know, Rob, that's, you know, wind is the thing that bothers pros the most. They can play rain, they can play in heat, they can play in any condition, but wind is what throws them off. And you have to be on your game to play a good round of golf at Washington County Golf Course.
And the other thing I like about Washington County is they're not bashful about hosting stuff. And in fact, today they are hosting one of the largest high school girls golf tournaments that you'll see here in 2020, simply because COVID-19, there aren't a lot of golf teams getting together for competitions of this size. 20 teams over at Washington County today, Gary. And Brookfield Central, Coach Brian Scrobel's Lancers win with a 328 total. Mequon Homestead second at 347. The Brookfield Central Varsity Reserve team finishes third at 353 in a tie with Green Bay Notre Dame, and then Sussex Hamilton rounds out the top five with a 360. Your medalist today over there was Sarah Balding, wins another tournament off to a great start. The junior for the Lancers from Brookfield Central with a 74. She wins by one shot over Grace Durkin of Green Bay Notre Dame. Elise Hoven and Issa Perry of Glendale Nicolet. Elise Hoven out of Cedarburg, they tie for third with 79s. And rounding out the top five, Kylie Whipper, who's had a great start to her season for Brookfield Central. She shoots an 80. Those are pretty good scores on that course. W7 Productions, who were kind of promoting their work because they do a lot of live stream video stuff of girls sports down in the Milwaukee area. And they've already televised a few golf tournaments, and they were streaming today with our friend Ed Swab doing some color commentary. And they had mobile cameras out there right with the girls in the fescue. And I felt bad for them. I mean, it looked tough. I mean, how long ago did you play out there, Gary? And was it, I mean, because of the weather we've gotten, a lot of rain, a lot of warm weather, I've got to think that grass in the fescue is pretty tough. There's no relief there, is there?
No, I played it about 10, 12 days ago with my brother, who was up from Florida. And we were paired with another twosome, and I lost one golf ball, Rob, and I was kind of proud of that. I kept it in play, but we were looking for golf balls. Man, the other three guys, my brother lost three or four balls, and the other two guys must have lost six or eight combined. So we lost a dozen golf balls. And it's like you said, though, you know, if you play smart and you know, choose the right line and are able to execute the shot, it's a wonderful golf course that way, that you'll have opportunities. You know, as a 12 handicapper, I'm capable of making four or five or six pars in a row on that golf course, which I don't do on a lot of golf courses. But then you hit one offline, and all of a sudden you're looking at a seven. And the guys I played with just struggled mightily, but we had a good time. We had a good time out there.
It's always a good time at Washington County Golf Course, and you can read Gary's review on Wisconsin.golf. Only a few more reviews left in the tank, I got to imagine, this year. Do you want to let everybody know where you're headed next to review a golf course?
Yeah, I really want to get to Bullseye, Rob, because we've talked about that on this podcast a couple times this year. I don't know if I'm going to make it there this year, but that's on my wish list. And that's one I'll definitely pick off, if not this year, next year. But in a couple of days, I'm going to Maskooten Golf Club in Berlin to play Maskooten, which is a wonderful facility hosted a stadium. I think Dan Woltman won that one. And so I'm looking forward to that.
They also hosted a state women's open. And again, another one that's very good and very generous to the junior golfers. They were supposed to have hosted the qualifying this year for the U.S. Junior Boys and U.S. Junior Girls. Of course, those were among the USGA events that were canceled by COVID-19. But Jeremiah Hoffman, now the head pro up there, and after Tom and Kaylin Dolby spent many years up there, and they're up in the UP now. And it is a wonderful golf course, kind of off the beaten path, but right in the shadows of the two courses down in Green Lake, Tuscumbia and the famous Lasonia Links. And so I think Maskooten and that collection of courses are starting to benefit by people trying to go from Erin Hills up to Sand Valley. You can't, if you're drawing a state line or a straight line as the bird flies, you got to go right over Maskooten, and it's hard to not stop and play at least 18 holes. They've got 27 there, so we'll look forward to that, Gary. And any other plans to play golf this week?
No, that's going to be a wrap. I'm actually going up there to sort of kill two birds with one stone. I'm going to play the course. I've only played 9 holes there because I played it during that state am years ago, and they let me go play the other 9 that were not in use for the state am. Keep Gary off the good course, the big course, they were saying. So I'm really looking forward to playing the 18 holes that I haven't played at Maskooten. And then I'm going to do a feature, Rob, on these two sisters who took up golf in their 70s, apparently, and have become addicted to the game and play almost every day. They play in leagues. And I think it's we do a lot with competitive golf. We write a lot of tournament golf stories and about high caliber players. These are just two women who took up the sport late in life and they fell in love with the game. And I think that's kind of a cool story to tell.
And we should also tell our listeners that if you have good stories, our email addresses are all over wisconsin.golf, and feel free to reach out. And we're doing some brainstorming. We're planning to catch up on a lot of the COVID stories that we did back in March when we were kind of in a holding pattern with golf, and see where things wound up at the end of the year. It's been a busy, it's been a fun year. And so again, would love to hear your story ideas. And we've got all sorts of great hole-in-one story ideas, and we'll try to get to as many of those as we can. And yeah, by all means, let us know, because those are fun to read and even more fun for us to write. Gary, I think that about does it here for Talking.Golf. Tomorrow, September 1st, you can go get another free pizza. How's that sound?
I've got a whole month to use that last coupon. I have one left, Rob.
One left? Is that all? Oh, boy.
Yeah, I've had free pizza for a year. I've had probably about 100 slices of Rocky Rococo's pizza over the last year. Loved every one of them.
I tell you what, and you're looking great shape, so I don't know what you're doing. So it's just amazing. Well, Gary, thanks a lot. And thank you for listening to Talking.Golf, sponsored today by Southwest Technical College in Fenimore. Did you know that Southwest Tech is for people with a passion for golf? That's right. They offer a golf course management program with a 100% job placement rate. The program helps students learn the industry and turn that passion into a rewarding career. The golf course management program at Southwest Tech is led by PGA professional Scott Kennedy. He also coaches the Chargers golf teams in the NJCAA. Whether you're a man or a woman, there are opportunities for everyone at Southwest Tech in Fenimore. To learn more, go to swtc.edu/golf. And again, we'd like to thank our sponsor all season long, the Club at Loch Lebel, which recently celebrated the grand opening of its all-new golf course. The rebirth of this historic course is now available for both members and non-members, and located conveniently between Milwaukee and Madison in the beautiful rolling hills of Oconomowoc. See what all the talk is about with this remake of one of the oldest courses in the state, and test your game with native fescue grasses, undulating greens, and Scottish roots. Do it today before the end of the golf season. Book your tee time at clubatlochlebel.com. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk to you again next week.